So what if I told you there was a group of people that got together and they were out and they made this big prayer circle. They're out there and it was really, really dry. It hadn't rained in a long time. And so like everybody is going broke. The crops aren't growing. There's no food. So they're like, this is what we're going to do. Make this big circle out here and we're going to pray. And we're going to beg God to send us some rain so our crops can grow. So we could get some water. So they go out there and they start to pray and they pray their little hearts out. And the next day they come back, they're like, we're going to meet here tomorrow at the same time. And they come out and they pray their little hearts out again, all of them. And then the next day, and they do it for like a week straight. They're just out there and they're praying. And then the last day, like, they're praying and they're praying and they're looking and they're like, God, like, where's the rain? Where's the water? And so they all decide to just go back to their houses, except for one lady, right? And she comes out and she's standing there. Like this. The sun is blazing. There's not a cloud in the sky. There's birds going overhead. And she's just chilling under this little umbrella. And the pastor comes back and he sees her there and he's like, what are you doing? She's like, didn't we pray for rain? We just spent a week asking God for rain. I'm waiting for the rain. And he's like, are you crazy? Have you seen the sky? Have you seen how blue it is? And she's like, don't you believe that God actually hears us? Don't you believe that God actually loves us and cares that we've been here asking for a week straight? I'm getting ready because I believe he does. So there's a funny thing about umbrellas, right? Because an umbrella is something, it's this tool that we only really use if we believe something's going to happen. You probably don't bring an umbrella to school on a really bright, sunshiny day. Do you? Like, it, you'd probably be a little crazy. Unless you knew the weatherman was probably lying because it's Florida. But, like, later on, it's going to rain. As you get out of school, you might bring it then. But if you don't think it's going to rain, you ain't bringing this umbrella. It's a tool based on what you believe. If I believe it's going to rain, here I am, and I'm going to pull my umbrella out, and I'm going to have it ready, and I'm going to carry it with me. Have you ever not believed it and got caught in the rain because you didn't bring your umbrella? You know what I'm talking about? It's based on faith. If I think it's going to rain, I bring this. How many people do you see walking around inside a building with an umbrella like this? Right now, right? So one. One in your whole life, right? People don't do that. Why don't they do that?
Wait, I have.
Other than the fact that some say it's bad luck, right? I just opened this so many times. If it was bad luck, I wouldn't still be here, right? But it's not going to rain on me in here. I don't need it. There's a roof above me, so I don't believe that it's going to rain and that I'm going to have to use this thing. So it's a tool based on belief. And there's a really interesting connection with a stinking little umbrella, so simple, just like this, and the way you pray, the way you interact with God. Have you ever thought that your prayers and your faith is kind of like an umbrella? The way you interact with God is based on trust and faith and belief. And if you are that person that goes out there after praying for rain and you're popping your umbrella open on a bright, sunshiny day, you believe that God is hearing you and that he actually will do what he said. And if you don't, you're probably one of those people who kind of prays and talks to God like, I don't know if you really care what I'm saying right now. I'm almost just doing it to do it. But what you believe will show up in your actions. What you believe will show up in your actions. And so tonight I want to start a new series with you guys, Malachi. If you'll open your Bibles up to Malachi chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 1 to 5. And as we look at this chapter, I want you to think of that video that we just saw where that guy's like, prove it to me. How many people do you know who have said that to you? Maybe you know some atheist friends. I know I have a bunch of people that I know they're atheists that I call my friends, and we have these conversations, and a lot of times I hear that, what that guy said in the video. Prove it. You can't prove it. You can't prove that God loves us. Have you seen what's going on in the world? Have you seen COVID? Have you seen the riots? Have you seen all the wars? Have you seen little kids getting hauled off into like trafficking? Like, this is a nasty world, so where's God? Prove to me that he loves me. And they want to know that. And I bet most of us in the room also ask the same question. Like, we want to know, does God really love us? Malachi is about to answer that question right here in the first five verses of his book. He's going to have this awesome answer. And it's not him answering. It's God answering back to some people who are looking at him going, you don't love us? How have you loved us? How have you ever shown your love to us, God? And then he's going to look back and he's going to give us this unbelievable answer. So if you're here tonight and you're wondering, like, does God really love me? Does God really care? Listen to see what Malachi has to say here. Let's read it together. It says, the oracle of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. That's like this beginning little title that he says. So you know who it's from and who it's to, right? He says this, I have loved you, says the Lord. But you say, how have you loved us? Is not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord. Yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I've hated. I've laid waste his hill country and left his heritage to jackals of the desert. If Edom says we're shattered, but we'll rebuild the ruins, the Lord of hosts says they may build, but I'll tear it down. And they'll be called the wicked country and the people with whom the Lord is angry forever. Your own eyes will see this, and you shall say, great is the Lord beyond the border of Israel. First thing you need to know here is that, look at that title, that little tag at the beginning. Let us know who it's from. It says, the oracle of the word of the Lord. Malachi is a prophet. He's this dude that God has chosen to speak messages to so he can bring it to the people of Israel, his chosen people. And so he's being used as this vessel to go to them and bring these messages from God. And this is prophecy. So what he's saying is going to happen. It's a big deal. What we're about to read and study over the next few weeks in this book, these are prophecies that came true. We can look back and say, yeah, what he said actually happened. So these are miracles, the word of God actually coming true. And it says it's to Israel. Now, this is a warning. Like, the people of Israel were God's chosen people. And you know what they were doing? They were off, like, worshiping other gods. They were looking at idols. They were, like, distracted from their relationship and their promised covenant to God. And so God's looking at them going, what are you doing? We have a promise. We have a covenant together. You're my people. And they're so distracted. They're looking the other way. They're looking over here. They're looking everywhere but up to the one that they should be worshiping. And God's trying to get their attention. And so he says, Malachi, I have this word I want you to bring to the Israelites, okay? And so Malachi to the Israelites is bringing this warning to say, you're embracing sin right now. God's called you to be his people, 100% all in, his. And you're giving yourself away. Now Malachi, this word Malachi, or this name, means my messenger. What a cool name, right? So God chooses this guy who's called, or he calls then, his messenger. He's got this important message, and it's not just for the Israelites. Like, we're going to find out that this is an important message for us today. That there's some really important things God is saying to you right now as you're sitting in these chairs. God is speaking a message to you. And he's doing it through the Bible, his word. That's the vessel that he's saying, hey, listen to me. Firehouse, I have a message for you. God wants you to hear something tonight. God wants you to hear all these things that happened to Malachi so you can look in your own heart and life and go, is that me? Can I relate? So don't think this is just to the people of Israel. This is a word for us as we sit here tonight. This was written 400 years before Jesus. You can put it in perspective, all right? So this is before Jesus was on the scene. And this is what God says. His first words to them are the greatest words. God of creation looks at them and says, I've loved you. I don't know about you, but sometimes I just need to hear that. I just need the Lord to whisper that to my heart and say, Rob, I loved you. I love you now. You can trust in me, Rob. Here's this broken people, and the first things, of all the things God could have said to start this, he says, I've loved you. And don't forget, the reason why he's bringing this message to them is because they're messing up, right? They're out doing things. Maybe you're here tonight, you're like, man, if you knew what I do, I'm not sure God could love me. I'm not sure I'm like a church person, or like, I'm not like everybody else here. Well, I don't know. I'm not so sure. Last time I checked, we're all sinners, and we're all broken. And everybody in this room stands before God broken. There's not anyone better than anyone else in this room. And we all need to hear the same message. I've loved you. He didn't start off by saying, you stinking rotten. You know, like, what did you do? You really messed up now. I can't believe it. He didn't start off that way. He starts off by saying, I've loved you. And so the question really, and their response isn't like, if God did or didn't love them, that we know that's true. He just said it. The question is, do they really believe it? Are they really picking up that umbrella going, I know it's true. I'm opening this thing up. I'm waiting for your love to pour down because I know it's true. I'm responding in faith because when you say you love me, God, no matter the circumstances, no matter the stuff going on all around me, I can believe it because you said it. And right now, I'm going to sit here and be ready to receive your love because you said you love me. Some of us just need to stop and have faith and say, Lord, you really do. You really mean what you say. Look what he says next. He says, is not Esau Jacob's brother? Declares the Lord. And so you're probably confused because this is kind of like a weird, old, like ancient way they would talk. And you look at it and you're like, why is he talking about Jacob's brother? Like, this is so random. What's happening right now? But the deal with Jacob and Esau is an important picture to them. Now, I don't know if you guys know the story of Jacob and Esau, so I'm going to tell it to you super quick. Back in the first book of the Bible, Genesis, right? There's this story, and Jacob and Esau are brothers. And Esau's the older brother. So back in that day, he would get the blessing and the birthright, and his father would kind of like give him the inheritance. So he got this awesome blessing who, through him, through his family line, eventually Jesus would be born. This was a big deal. The Messiah was going to come through his kids and his grandkids. And so his dad is going to give him this birthright and this blessing, but he's coming back from hunting because he's this big, burly, strong dude, and he hunts and he brings in stuff. So he's got like all these animals, right? No, he doesn't. He's hungry. He comes back and he's hungry. And as he comes back in, he's like, man, I could just like eat a rock right now. And he looks over and his brother Jacob, who is a good cook, is back here. And he's got like this big pot of stew going. And it looks delicious and it smells delicious. And Esau's like, man, I'm so hungry right now. And he's like, I'll give you some. You will? He's like, yeah, just give me your blessing. Just give me your birthright. It's an easy trade. No big deal. Bowl of soup. And he's so hungry, he's like, okay, let's do this. But it wasn't just because he was so hungry. That's what we might hear when we're like in children's church. It was because he could care less about God's blessing. He didn't take God seriously. This blessing from God to him was like, big deal. It's some spiritual stuff. I don't care. Give me the soup. I don't know. It's an interesting night. I don't know how many of you guys have sat before God like that and he's offered you his love. He's offered you his son, Jesus. He's offered you his attention. And you're going, well, you know what? I just really don't care that much. I'd rather have this bowl of soup. I'd rather have this thing in front of me, this thing that's more exciting. I'd rather go to this party with my friends and enjoy a couple hours of just pleasure and breaking the rules and messing up than following you and getting your blessing. I'd rather sit here at my computer and look at these images that I know I shouldn't be looking at that are just filth and corrupting my mind instead of being in the Word and spending time with you, God. I'd rather talk this way with my friends or gossip or whatever, you name it, right? The thing that you would rather have over God because you're like, I just don't care that much. It's just not that important. I just don't value you and your love and your blessings that much. They're not that important to me. And so as you sit before God, you tell him that he doesn't really matter. And as Malachi is talking to these people of Israel, God is calling them out for that. God's saying, you're telling me I don't matter. You don't care about my blessing over you. You don't value what I'm offering you. I have loved you. You You could care less. You'd rather be playing games on your phone or checking out social media than spending time with God. You'd rather be out playing sports than coming to the Word to gather with His church. Other things are more important. God calls him out pretty hard. And he says this, "Yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated." And this is an old phrase that would say that I chose one over the other. That's how we would say it today. It sounds really strong, loved and hated, but in a way God is just saying, you have received a gift you don't really deserve to have. Like, you don't deserve to be loved like this. You all deserve punishment because you're messing up. But I'm going to give you something better. I'm going to give you this thing called grace. It's something you don't deserve. And just like when God looked at Jacob and honored this blessing and looked at Esau and said, you didn't care about me at all. And he blessed Jacob. What he's doing is he's saying, Israel, I've chosen you. I've given you what you don't deserve. I could have destroyed you because that's what you deserve. But I didn't. I showed you grace. And as we sit here tonight, you know, to be honest, if we're sitting before God going, you don't matter to us, like I care more about this stuff than you, you don't deserve blessing. You don't deserve His favor. You don't deserve His love. But He's looking at you saying, I've loved you. And even though you don't deserve it, I've chosen you. And I'm giving you grace. That's yours tonight. Do you realize that? It's yours tonight. God did that for you. As you sit here right now and you think through your day and your week and all the things you've done that have not honored God, all the times you've just ignored Him to choose something that you thought was better in the moment, He's still looking at you going, my grace is yours. My love is yours because I chose you. And so it says, Jacob I have loved and Esau I have hated. So realize this. If you ask me how you think I've loved you, it's because I've given you grace. I've given you what you don't deserve. I've chosen you when you actually deserve the worst destruction. I gave you love instead. This is a picture of the gospel of Jesus. This is exactly what Jesus did, right? Because we don't deserve God to love us. We're sinners. We're all broken. We're born that way and we live that way. But God says, I love you so much, my only son. Guys, chill in the back, all right? My only son, Jesus, is going to come and He's going to die on a cross for you, and you don't deserve it. If you think you deserve it tonight, let's have a talk after. Because there isn't a person in this room or this church or this country or this world that deserves it. But God chose to love you. That's the gospel. Jesus did what we couldn't do and what we didn't deserve to do. That's grace. And he says this, I've laid waste to his hill country and left his heritage to jackals. Like, he has destroyed Esau's people, all of his descendants. They've just been like decimated and God's been after them, right? Because, but if you look at Esau, Jacob's people, Israel, he's like blessed them and caused them to grow. And he's going to have Jesus born through their line. And you're like, whoa, one he chose over the other. They were like brothers. What's the big difference between the two? They're both from the same father, the same family. Why would God choose one over the other? And it's this awesome but crazy thing called grace. Because Jacob didn't deserve it more than Esau. He even tried to like trick him into the blessing, but God was just like, I'm going to show you what you don't deserve. You see, if we look in the book of Obadiah, that's another prophet. He talks about how this is going to happen, right? And now we're here in Malachi, and he's talking like, it did happen. We're seeing prophecy be fulfilled right here, that God did come after Edom, and he did destroy them just like Obadiah said. And God's like, listen, I keep my word. You know why you could pick this thing up and like believe that his love is coming? Because he keeps his word. God always comes through on his promise. He doesn't lie. He doesn't break covenants. You can trust that when he looks at you and says to you tonight through his word, through his prophecy, I love you. I chose you. I have grace over you. You can open this thing up and say, I'm receiving it. I believe it. And sometimes it's so hard to do. Like, I'm not up here saying this is an easy thing. I was on a mission trip going through this village. Me and Pastor Titus were together at the time. And we're walking through a village. And as we're going through, there's a bunch of ladies who ran up to us. And one was carrying a baby. And as they came up to us, they were crying and they were asking us to pray over her. And as we got closer and they kind of surrounded us in this circle and the baby came up front, like the mom carried the baby to the front of us, we saw that the baby's head was just like way bigger than its body. And I had asked like what was wrong, and they said it had this thing called hydrocephala, which means like their head gets super like swollen and filled up until the point where the baby dies. And it was already just like massive. And so they were scared that at any moment, that lady's baby was going to die in her arms. And Titus and I are standing there and we're just like looking like, let's pray, you know? So all the ladies gathered around and they put hands on the baby and we're praying and praying and praying. And we spent all this time there just begging God to heal this child. And then as we say amen, Titus and I kind of look up, you know? We just look at each other and immediately we get pushed out of the way, like physically pushed by these little teeny ladies are like hip chucking me out of the way to get up close to this baby and start checking its head and its body and see. And they're like looking at it, like expecting that head to be normal again. Like immediately they just ran up and they're inspecting, like they were doing this. You just prayed. Why wouldn't we expect that this baby would be healed? We just prayed. We trust that this prayer is being heard by an infinite God. They ran up with faith in their heart. You know, Titus and I looked at each other in that moment. I remember telling him, I was like, that's kind of crazy that they ran up to this kid like that. And he said, it's because they believe. They believe what we prayed is actually being heard. And for a moment, as I was the one who was praying over the baby, I was like, how come I didn't run up to that kid? How come my first instinct wasn't to check its head and go, God, did you answer? I know you did. I'm ready to see what you've done. Let me pull my umbrella out and trust you. I was wondering why they were so excited to see what had happened. And it revealed how little faith I had in my heart. And that might be you tonight. If you really looked, that might be you. You might goof off and do all this stuff and make your friends think you're a happy person just because you're hiding a lot of pain. Because you can't trust that God really loves you. You want to. You say you do, but you don't. And tonight, he's trying to tell you, as clear as day, he's loved you. He's chosen you. And he has sent Jesus to be the gift that you don't deserve. And he's calling you back. The name of this series is Table Scraps. And the reason why it's Table Scraps is because our lives, it's like we're taking the worst parts and we're saying, you can have this. Here, God, eat this. Eat the leftovers. Take what I don't really care about. And God's saying, I don't want the leftovers. I don't want the table scraps. I want you. I want all of you. I want you with your umbrella up high saying, listen, God, I believe you love me. And tonight, I'm willing to give you all of me. My whole life, I'm not holding anything back. I know you deserve everything that I am. Do you trust God's love tonight? I'm going to ask the band to come back up right now. And we're going to sing another song. And while they do, I want to ask you to do something for me. I want you just to think in your own heart and your own head right now. Is Rob describing me tonight? What am I doing with this umbrella? What am I trusting? Do I really think God loves me? So if you would just bow your heads, just pray that for a second, think to yourself, and just sing this next song out with us, just thinking that between you and the Lord.